Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, and saging, or what I call positive aging. I'm passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say that I'm out to retire the word retirement. We're not retiring, but we're moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I've selected to interview Marianne Osher. Marianne is a certified retirement and relationship coach who focuses on assisting people build happy, fulfilling lives in the post-career phase of their lives. She also assists singles and couples to build and maintain healthy and rewarding relationships, because having a solid relationship is a big part of having a happy and fulfilling life. Her clients benefit from her seminars and workshops as well as private coaching. Marianne has retired twice after spending over 40 years in the corporate world. Of course, she didn't really retire. She just moved on. Marianne has been conducting a transition into retirement summit where she interviews some of the top thought leaders and coaches in the field. And that's really where I became familiar with Marianne and her work, is by participating in some of these summits and actually buying some of the recordings that I refer to time and time again, because she really does interview some of the top thought leaders. As someone who's participated in her summit and purchased the recordings, as I said, I wanted to have a conversation about what she's learned through this process. For more information on Marianne, please refer to the bio attached to this podcast. Well, welcome to the series, Marianne.
Hey, Jan, thanks. It's a lot of fun to be with you today.
Well, as I said, you know, I have participated in your summits, and I think you've done them the last couple of years. I'm not exactly sure how long you've been doing this. So tell us more about your transition to retirement summit.
Well, Jen, one of the things that I have learned in my private coaching and in the workshops I do is that people crave information about what's going on in retirement. You know, and when you first start thinking about it, you know, most of us think of it as, oh, this is going to be pretty simple. I'm going to be rid of all the stress, and I'm going to be able to do whatever I feel like doing anytime, and so what's the big deal here? Well, once you get into that transition, we quickly learn that there's a lot more to it. And I believe firmly that when we are aware of not only the issues but the possible solutions, that it's much easier for us to work through that transition, to work through the challenges that we often face as we move from our careers into however we want to define the next phase of our life. And boy, I couldn't agree with you more that we've got to retire that word retirement. It just simply does not come close to explaining what most of us are living these days.
Exactly. And, you know, just for our listeners, how many years have you been doing this, and is there a certain time of year you do it? And I think it's over a course of 3 or 4 days. Can you kind of describe it a little bit, and do you plan to do it again?
Yeah, Jan, I started it 2 years ago and was really thrilled with the caliber of people, as you mentioned before, that were willing to be interviewed. I mean, these are people that almost all of them have written books. They've appeared on Oprah and Good Morning America and on and on and on, been public all over the place. And they are willing to do this because they share my passion for wanting people to be aware of what the possibilities are. So both of the last, you know, the first year and the second year, both of them were in February, and the third one will be in February 2018. I choose people who are experts in the multitude of phases or aspects of retirement that are important to us. And yes, I interview them for about 45 minutes. Many of them offer free gifts, but the real benefit is being able to hear the wisdom of these people and know that their books are filled with, I only select people that I think that the books are extraordinarily worthwhile. So it's a recommendation for a resource. And so it's really an opportunity to say, okay, okay, what do I need to know about here? You know, what haven't I thought about? You know, the old saying, sometimes you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And so this is an opportunity to hear people who are, you know, truly have spent a lot of time and effort thinking and studying these topics, and to hear what they have to say. So yes, I'm definitely going to do it for the third year in 2018, February 2018.
Oh, February, okay. And I definitely have found lots of value, and I find value in buying the recordings, and I listen to them over and over again. And so I really, it's really well done, Marianne. So given that you've done this for 2 years and you interview a series of people, you know, throughout the days and then throughout the weeks, what have been some of the themes that have emerged from all these interviews? Because, you know, I wrote a leadership book. It came out in 2013 called Leading with Wisdom, Sage Advice from 100 Experts. And what I found most fascinating is, you know, what were the themes that emerged from over 100 interviews? And those themes then became chapters. So, you know, when you hear it more than once, you know, and when you hear, if it really is emerging as a strong theme, then I think that really is something that we should pay attention to. So what have been some of the themes? And I don't know if they're the same themes from last year to this year, but go ahead and just share what you've really learned from interviewing all of these people.
Well, a whole lot to answer your question in a nutshell. But, you know, and often the same themes come up in different ways through many of the interviews because they're consistent. Sometimes they come up from a different point of view. But I think one of the big ones, the overarching ones, is don't try to go it alone. Find support. Now, you know, as I mentioned earlier, most people start this journey with, first of all, not paying particular attention to what's ahead for them. You know, we've had 30, 40, whatever years, number of years of being in the pressure cooker with all the stuff that that means. And so often it's just attractive to say, wow, I'm looking forward to being out of that, being up from underneath it. And others are saying, wow, I can't wait for the freedom of being able to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. And that's terrific. It's absolutely terrific. But at some point, almost everybody, you know, well, I know statistically from research that's been done actually by MetLife, that, Ameriprise, that 69% of people that move into the post-career time of their life face challenges. And the way to get, when you get to that point, after you finish the honeymoon of your retirement, when you get to that place where the challenges start popping up, it's important to seek support from either, you know, like-minded groups, from friends who've been through it, from coaches like you and me, from professionals that can help you steer it through. Because, you know, sadly, many of us have been raised with societal's mantra, if you need help, you're weak. Or this thought that if you have to do it by yourself. I know that was certainly drilled into me. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is most of us have learned that collaborative work is far more productive. Certainly that was one of the big insights for me when I was still working in the corporate world, that I could get a heck of a lot better ideas and a heck of a lot more done, both for myself and for my team, when it was a collaborative effort. And that same thing is so true in retirement. Mm-hmm. And it just is. And, you know, we think we can do it by ourselves. We think we can just read one book and it's going to be okay. But it's much more of a journey than that. It's much more of an unfolding. And so the number one theme, and I hear it all the time from these experts, is find support.
Mm-hmm. That's great. What, like, maybe two or three other top themes that just kind of stick in your mind?
Oh, yeah. You know, to tell you the truth, I probably have a dozen and a half.
Right.
So we'll go through it as much as you want to and time permits.
Okay.
But another is to be very intentional and take time to process this phase. And what's meant by that is the fact that, you know, most of us have been through this, okay, I'm shifting gears, I've got to be on the treadmill and off and running and producing day one. Well, in this particular case, days, that's not such a good idea. I mean, for some of us, it's okay, but for a lot of other people, it's not, because we're not anticipating the big shifts that occur. You know, we're certainly focused on the fact that, okay, whatever our career was, whatever our responsibilities were, that's going to be gone, and it's going to be replaced by fun and freedom. But what we don't realize is that our relationship with our partner, if we're in a partnership, is going to shift. We don't realize that the fact that, okay, now I don't have a defined schedule, whether I created it before or not, but I was creating it within the realm of what I was trying to accomplish in my career. Well, there's no schedule now. And some aspects of that are great, but for other people, we need some semblance of it. Mm-hmm. But the big one is our identities. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, so many of us, our identities are just so wrapped up in what we have been doing, what the world called us. And when that's gone, it just takes time to process that. It takes time to, you know, to readjust and to refocus and to reexamine. And the people that I have seen, and I've seen some huge success stories, and I have seen some people who have not been willing to take this time and be reflective and look at this. And quite frankly, some of those stories are pretty sad. Mm-hmm. In terms of increased depression, increase of loss of health. It's just important to take that time to process what you're going through.
Right. And it's interesting because one of the things that I often share with people to get their attention is if you do research, you find out that depression in 50 plus is increasing. Divorce rate is higher than average in 50 plus. Drug and alcohol substance abuse. The fastest growing, not the largest, but the fastest growing segment is 50 plus. Suicide, particularly in white males in 50 plus, is on the rise. So all of these are very negative data-driven indicators that it's not really an easy time of life. So it's really worth processing, as you said, being intentional. One of my other interviewees talked about making, you know, choices. And, you know, if you're really proactive and trying to be positive, then you can make positive choices. Otherwise, I think if you're not thinking about this, it's easy to fall back into some bad habits, bad behaviors, and it's not so easy. So very interesting.
Well, a couple of things, you know, those statistics that you were alluding to, those extraordinary sad facts, there's been some research is starting to emerge on what is causing that. And there are a couple of things that lie underneath it. And one of them, and I would say it's an overarching one, is your mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, are you looking at this as a disaster, the end of my life? Or are you seeing this as a brand new open door with endless, infinite possibilities that you can explore and enjoy every single day? Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to a former client the other day about, he was doing a follow-up issue. And, you know, I said to him, what was the pivotal point for you as you were starting to move from, he started out extremely depressed. His relationship was in trouble. His health was starting to fail. And yet he ended up at the end of that story with being a poster child in terms of living a life that is full of exuberance and vitality and enthusiasm and fulfillment, and he's just a totally different human being. And so I said, what was one of the things that helped you to go down that journey? And he said, when you said, how are you looking at this time of your life? And when I realized that I was looking at it as I was studying my morbidity, and I was thinking that, you know, I was just sort of going to be out to pasture until it was time to die. That's how I was thinking about it. And when I realized that I've still got 30, at least 30 good years left of my life, and why do I need to live it that way? And when I made that mental mind shift, everything else shifted. And I can tell you sadly that the people who can't make, who don't make that mind shift, are the ones that are the statistics in the suicide rates. They're the ones that are the statistics in increased depression and alcohol and substance abuse. And unfortunately, the marriage, the divorce statistic that you cited is really dramatic. I mean, the last one I saw, the divorce rate among 50 pluses was increasing in double digits, while the divorce rate in every other age cohort has been declining steadily. And the research is showing that that's because when you are struggling with this transition and don't either get help or look at your mindset, you tend to blame things. I shouldn't have retired, or it's my spouse's fault, and the blame ends up eroding and deteriorating the relationship, hence the increased divorce.
Yep, that's true. It's one of my college roommates, her divorce was just final, and honestly, her husband just took a major dive to the south, and, you know, she just couldn't live with it anymore, and so it really is sad, because that's absolutely the last thing she wanted. So,
but the really sad thing about it, Jan, is it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
It just doesn't.
Right, exactly. But again, you have to get the awareness, you have to do the preparation, and that's what we're here to help people do, right, Marianne?
Absolutely.
Well, I know there are many other themes, because I kind of identified some of my own themes as I was listening to those interviews that you conducted. What were some of your key ahas, your key surprises, that maybe it wasn't necessarily a theme, but you didn't expect to hear it from one of your interviewees, and this might be a harder question to answer, I'm not sure.
Actually, let me say, let me answer that, but from a little bit different tack.
Okay.
One of the things that I know is fundamental in moving to the place where this client I was just referring to has built this wonderful life, and I've seen it time and time and time again, and I've read it in all the literature. One of the fundamental foundational things in this period of our life is to get in touch with what our purpose is. And our purpose, the reason that that's important is when we have a reason to get up, when we have a sense that we are making a contribution that is meaningful, everything in our life shifts.
Uh-huh.
And there's a huge body of research now that shows that it affects decreased cardiovascular disease. It decreases any kind of depression. It increases your longevity. There are just tons of studies about that. So the aha moment for me was that I heard that same message from almost every one of the 24 speakers that I have interviewed, even though purpose was not their topic. Their topic might have been positive aging. Their topic might have been leaving a legacy. All kinds of different topics. And almost every one of them came back to that point, that one of the fundamental keys to this time of your life is to getting in touch with what's meaningful and include in your life activities that incorporate that and demonstrate that and give that. And, you know, when I first started working on this word purpose, I thought, well, you know, I don't think I have a purpose. Because I always thought that unless you were a Mother Teresa or a Gandhi and had some change the world kind of motivation, that you didn't have a purpose. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. Every single one of us as living beings has a purpose. And that purpose might be to make this a better place by growing a rose garden. It doesn't matter.
No, I totally agree with you. In fact, I was mentioning earlier to someone that, you know, one of my role models in this area is Richard Leiter and his work. And, you know, his whole, work can be summed up with one question. You know, what's your reason for getting up in the morning?
Yep.
And if you don't have a reason, which is what you're calling purpose, if you don't have a reason, then it's really easy to fall into a funk, have the negative mindset, not do the work, not do the preparation. So it truly is about, you know, having a reason to get up in the morning. And that reinforces your purpose. Well, excellent. What other words of wisdom about leaving one's career and moving on?
I think the biggest thing that people struggle with is letting go of the past.
Interesting. That's a good point.
And, you know, it's easy to hold on to it. I mean, how many people do you know that have already left their career? I'm trying really hard not to use that R word because I don't like it. Anyway, that have left their career, and you meet them at a cocktail party, and they introduce themselves by telling you what they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think they've let go of that? Probably not.
Right.
And the point is that when you hold on to what used to be, it doesn't open you up for the possibilities that are ahead of you now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hold on to what that was, and it's not that way anymore, you focus on the lack. But when you can let go of it and free that space to look at what the endless possibilities are ahead of you, it can be exhilarating.
Right.
And the worst part, the hardest part for people to let go of is the power thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, women now too, because of the way that we have been able to make inroads in the corporate world, but men especially, you know, they're used to it. They're used to getting things done by their position. And, you know, when they don't let go of it, it spills over into things like their relationship, because now they're trying to control the way their wife manages the home, or they're trying to control the local condo board. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. I live in Naples, Florida, which has a lot of people who have transitioned into this stage of their life. And also, the joke is, oh, well, the first thing that they do when they retire is join the condo board because they think they're going to change the world. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore.
Right.
And one of my older clients is a woman, actually, and she talked about her struggle with giving up this power, and she said, you know, I held on to it so fiercely, and when I finally could let go of it, I can't even begin to tell you how exhilarating it was to know that there are other ways of accomplishing things that don't require me to be in control.
Exactly. Well, and I think, you know, when you're talking about you know, power or using their position as a platform, you know, there's so much ego involved, and that's a whole, actually I have a whole chapter in my book about leaders don't let ego win. So this whole idea of letting go, but particularly letting go of that ego part, not letting ego make decisions. And that's not easy, but it takes work. And once you understand the power of the ego, and I had to, when I was learning that in my research, I did a whole lot of work on ego development. And that's fascinating, because our ego can really bring out the darkness of us if we're not careful. We often say, you know, you need to control the ego. Don't let the ego control you.
Exactly.
And I also say, your ego is not your amigo. So, you know, again, I think we have to really watch that. Well, those are very good points, Marianne. What else should I have asked you, you know, either about your work or your summit that you think our listeners need to know about this topic? I mean, you really have focused on this. You know, you have clients, you know, you do these workshop seminars. What else should I have asked that people should know?
I want to go back to the first point that I made, because I the theme that you asked about, and that really is don't go it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you were talking about letting go of the ego and some of the stereotypes the ego clings onto, and one of those egoic issues is I'm solid and I'm good, and so I can do this by myself. And the answer is, you will get so much farther, so much faster, so much more successfully if you get support in some way.
And what are some ways, like, so let's probe that just a little bit, because we still have some time. So name some ways that people could look for support, because a lot of people, again, are scared to ask, you know, or like you said, they look at it as a weakness or a vulnerability. So if I'm your client and I say, well, where should I find this support, Marianne, what would you say?
Well, I would say that the single most effective way is to find a professional, whether it's a coach or somebody that offers the services of helping guide you. Just, you know, and a coach is very different than a therapist, as I know you know, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
In that a coach's job is to help you say, okay, where am I now? Where do I want to go? And how can we get there?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not digging into all the, you know, what did your father say to you as a child stuff. That's
right.
Not our job.
Right.
Our job is to help you to say, it's to help identify the steps that you need to take in order to achieve what you want to achieve. And, you know, we have coaches in football and basketball and every kind of sport. And it's the same kind of thing in a situation like this.
Yes.
Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Right. And you know, I often say that. You know, why is it we're so, you know, we're so, we expect professional athletes or any athlete to have a coach if they want to get better, or a musician, if they have teachers, they go to, you know, even people in orchestras, professional orchestras have teachers, but yet we just feel like we have to do it by ourselves, and that's not right. And I agree with you, you know, coaching's about the future and therapy's about the past, and sometimes there might be something in your past that's blocking your future. But most of the time, you're right. I mean, coaching is, you know, where are you? Where do you want to go? And how can I help you get there? And so that's a very good point. Well, good. Well, our time's kind of coming to an end. Any other closing thoughts, Marianne? I mean, we could talk for hours. We could, you know.
We could indeed.
Yeah, you and I love to talk about this topic. But what else do you want my listeners to know? Or should they know?
I think that it's to spend some time being clear about what your vision is for this time of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, take the time to just reflect on it and, you know, decide what you want it to be rather than just sort of letting it happen by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will help to give you a picture of what are some of the things that you, some of the actions that you want to take. And, you know, an important part of that is to share that vision with other people that you love and that are important to you so that they can, you know, another support thing, so they can support you in what it is that you're trying to accomplish in this 30 years of your life.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a very good point. And, you know, share. I often, you know, tell my clients, or I mention this in workshops, that people really should be planning for this phase, I think, at least 5 years before they leave a main career. You know, you don't just leave it and then wake up and go, oh, now what? They should really, you know, once you have a plan, then it's much more easy. It's easier. You know, it's to let go and move on because you've already thought of where you might want to go. You've got that vision in mind.
It doesn't seem so hopeless because
right. You're
right. When you're, you know, already engaged in whatever you're doing professionally, then it's more the fun adventure of planning it.
Right.
When you're in the doldrums of, oh my God, I'm lost and directionless and I don't have a clue, and all the feelings that come up from that, it's a whole different journey.
It is. You're right. Well, that's a good way to put it. Well, Marianne, I want to thank you for spending your time and your sharing your wisdom with us based on all of your experience in this area. And the whole idea is, you know, I always say we're trying to make the rest of life the best of life. And so much of that has to do with mindset and so many of the tips that you've shared with us today. So thank you very much for being on my podcast series, Becoming a Sage.
Oh, you're welcome, Jan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.